Turn with me, please, to the book of Acts and chapter 1. We will be looking at various scriptures. I just want to use this as a springboard to commence the topic that has been allocated to me for this morning. Acts chapter 1, verse 1. The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach. The first thing I want us to consider this morning is the purpose of the church. We are thinking about leadership in the church. And by way of connecting up with what our brother Dan Smith brought before us yesterday evening, I would like us to consider just very briefly for a moment or two the purpose of the church. And I think the purpose of the church is inferred in Acts chapter 1 verse 1. When the Lord Jesus was here on earth, he began something. He also finished something, by the way. He finished to absolute perfection the work of salvation. Isn't that good? But he began something that he did not finish. And what he began to do and teach, which we have read about in Acts 1:1, we as members of the church are obligated to carry on. Now, last night, Brother Dan mentioned what the Lord Jesus said on one occasion. He said, "I am the light of the world." Now, on another occasion, in John chapter 9, verse 5, he said this. Now, listen very carefully. He said, "As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." Now that implies something. It implies that when he left the world, there is a sense in which he ceased to be the light of the world. Now he has not ceased to be the light of the world, but there is a certain sense in which he has ceased to be the light of the world. Because he said in Matthew chapter 5 verse 14 to his disciples, "Ye are the light of the world." And so now that the Lord Jesus has ascended into heaven, he is no longer in the world in a physical sense, we must carry on what he began. We are the light of the world. And it is in that context, as the church, which is the light of the world, that we are considering our subject of leadership this morning. Now, the first thing I want us to think about is the need for leadership. Why do we need to have leaders in the church? And there are probably many reasons. I only want to refer to two reasons. So would you turn, please, to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. First Corinthians 14, verse 33. "For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints." God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints. And one verse, please, in Jeremiah 17. It's a verse you know very, very well. Verse 9. Now you'll forgive me for going back into the Old Testament. Of course the church isn't there, but there are people there. And there are people in the church. So there are things that actually would help us in the Old Testament. Jeremiah 17 verse 9, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Another rendering of that verse would be, the heart is crooked above all things and incurably wicked. Now I want to suggest this morning that two important reasons for the need of leadership in our assemblies is, number one, because of what God is, and number two, because of what we are. Because of what God is, we need leadership. What is God? God is a God of order. We've been singing about God being a holy God. You know, that's part of God's orderliness. We know that God is a powerful God. That's part of God's orderliness. You only need to look at the planets and the stars and the sun and the moon and the earth and all the rest of it. Everything that God does, He does in an orderly fashion. He is a God of order. This is one of the great proofs that there is a God. Orderliness. People would tell us that everything just evolved and in a random way it happened to come to what it is now. But you see, in every aspect of our universe, we see nothing but order. Perfect order. Complete order. A wonderful order that fits everything together in every different facet of life. It is absolutely incredible, the orderliness of our universe. And that is a reflection of the character of our God. When the Lord Jesus was here on earth, He showed people what God is like. Did He not? Did He not? Yes, He did. And what He began to do, we must continue to do. And in this aspect of the character of God, the aspect of orderliness, if it is to be revealed to the world, then there must be leadership, or there would be chaos in our assemblies. The second point, of course, is not just because of what God is, but because of what we are. The problem is that our hearts are evil and wicked. Wicked, incurably so. We drift. We tend to go astray, every single one of us. And that is why we need leadership. A leadership that can help to focus us on what is important in this life that we are trying to live for Christ. The need for leadership. For the remainder of my time, I want us to talk about the provision of leadership. The provision of leaders in the church. God's provision of leaders. To start with, we look at Ephesians chapter 2. I want us to divide this section of our study into two. First of all, I want us to see God's provision of leaders in the infant church. And then we will look at something to do with God's provision of leaders in the adult church. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 20. Well, we better read verse 19 as well. Now, therefore, ye are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, or the extreme foundation corner. You are very well aware of the fact that there are three main pictures given to us in our New Testament relative to the church. The church is seen as a building, it's seen as a body, it's seen as a bride. Now, I'm using the analogy of a body, and I'm using the analogy of a building. I'm talking about when the church was in its infancy, when the body was small, young, and immature. And I will be talking about the church in its adulthood, when the body has grown, it's big, it should be mature. We see the same type of picture in the analogy of the building. It starts with a foundation, and gradually the walls are built up, the roof is put on, the building is fitted out. Now, in the early infant church, God gave special leaders. In the adult church that we have today, we have different sort of leaders. But there are always leaders. Here in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 20, we find that in that infant church, God gave the special leaders who are called apostles and prophets. How do I know that it was in the infant church? Because it says, you are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets. That is, not the foundation that the apostles and prophets laid, but the foundation which consisted of the apostles and prophets. How do I know that's the meaning of the verse? Because it says Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. In the days when buildings were built with stone, the stonemason, of course, had to dress the stone. And in those days, I understand, when they didn't have the theodolites and all the modern equipment that is available to us today, they had a particular way of building a large building. There was one stone that was dressed by a master mason. It was made very large, very strong, and very straight. Every angle was exactly 90 degrees. It was made to the highest degree of perfection that it was possible to attain to, and that chief cornerstone was laid on the corner, and every other wall in the building was measured against that. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. The apostles were measured against him. The prophets were measured against him. You can read about it in the New Testament. In the book of Corinthians, the apostle says, let your prophet speak by two or three, and let the others judge. Judge what? Judge how they're speaking, measured against Christ and his words. The apostles, they were judged. We read that in Revelation chapter 2. When the letter is sent to the church in Ephesus, this very same church, by the way, and when the Lord commended those people, he said, you have tried them who say they are apostles and they are not, and you found them out to be liars. How did they test them? By measuring them against the Lord Jesus, because he's the chief apostle. And so we see in the infant church those apostles and prophets, and by the way, they are confined to the foundation. We are now in the superstructure of the church. We do not have apostles, not of that type. We do not have prophets, not of that type. They were special leaders given to the church in its infancy. Now that's all I want to say about that. I hope it's clear. I hope you will see that that is the truth of God's word. But now we want to look at God's provision of leaders in the church today. It would be an utter impossibility to cover this topic completely. Just chatting to Brother Dan this morning, I really feel that if you want to do leadership properly, you need about 2 weeks every day. It is an enormous subject. And I heartily agree with what he said last night. It is an incredibly important subject. I believe that our assemblies are in the state they are today because we have neglected the subject of godly, biblical leadership. So it is incumbent upon us to try to set the record straight. For that reason, I will confine my remarks to the question of leadership in the assembly as far as elders are concerned. But I don't want you to go away with the idea that that's the only leadership that there is in the assembly. But it's the main one. It's a vital one. In a sense, that is the measure by which other areas of leadership in the assembly will be gauged. Therefore, I feel it is fundamentally important. Let's go to Philippians, please, chapter 1. And we will read verse 1. Philippians chapter 1, verse 1. Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi, with the bishops and deacons. Please note the word bishops. I'm not going to talk about deacons this morning. That's another whole area. You could take 3 or 4 days on that one. So we'll set it to one side. Not that it's not important, but I just want to confine my remarks to that other section, bishops, as the King James Version has it in Philippians 1:1. And we'll talk about that a little bit more in a moment. Back to Acts, please, chapter 20. Verse 17. Acts 20, verse 17. And from Miletus, Paul sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. We had bishops in Philippians 1:1. Now in Acts 20:17 we have elders. Now go further down the chapter, please, to verse 28. Paul is now addressing those same elders, and he says, "Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which, or better, in which the Holy Spirit hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood." Now I want you to notice the word overseer in that verse. So we've got bishops in Philippians 1:1, we've got elders in Acts 20 verse 17, and we've got overseers in Acts 20 verse 28. And finally, please, let's have a little look at Ephesians 4:11. We will turn to another scripture a little bit later. But Ephesians 4:11, "And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ." And the one word I want to lift out of that is the word pastors. So I want us to get these four words: bishops, elders, overseers, pastors. Now, a little grammar lesson, if you please. A little grammar lesson in Greek, if you don't mind. I'm not a Greek scholar. I don't pretend to be. But this is so easy, even I, in my simplicity, can understand it. First of all, I want you to notice the word episkopos. Episkopos. E-P-I-S-K-O-P-O-S, if you want to write it down. Episkopos. That's a Greek word. It is the word from which we get the term Episcopalian, if you've ever heard of it. If you haven't, don't worry. There is a group of churches called Episcopalian churches. What it means is that those churches are governed by a system of bishops. And in Philippians chapter 1 verse 1, when the translators of the King James Version were translating that verse, they came to the word episkopos and they wrote bishop, because they had been instructed to hold on to the theological terms and the hierarchical terms of the church. So they slotted in their bishop. Episkopos, the word bishop. Now I want you to notice, please, in Acts chapter 20 verse 28, that verse we have already read, where the apostle Paul said to the elders, he said, "You be careful about the church over which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers." And the word overseers is the word episkopos, same word. Why did the translators not put bishops in there? Well, I'll tell you why they didn't. It's very simple, because there was more than one of them. And you can't have more than one bishop in one church. In fact, you've got one bishop over many churches. So they used the word overseer. You see, that's the meaning of the word. And that proves that those men who translated this translation of the Bible in 1611, they knew the meaning of the word, but in Philippians 1:1 they didn't translate it properly, because they were holding on to the old terms. Bishops, when you read the word bishop in your Bible, change it to the word overseer, will you please? Because that's exactly what it is, episkopos. Second word, presbyteros. Presbyteros, that's the word we get Presbyterian from. You've all heard of the Presbyterian Church. And it's called Presbyterian because those churches are governed by a system of elders, not bishops. So a Presbyterian church is not Episcopalian, it's Presbyterian. And so they are presbyteroi, elders. That's really the meaning of the word. And that's what we've got in Acts chapter 20, verse 17. Paul called the elders the presbyteroi, which is the plural of presbyteros, and they're just elders. Now get that word firmly into your mind, please. Thirdly, we have the word poimen, P-O-I-M-E-N. That's the word we read in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. It means pastors. No, it doesn't. It means shepherds. Shepherds. In fact, the word is used 18 times in our New Testament. Please notice this. 18 times that word is used in the New Testament. Once it is translated pastors, 17 times is translated shepherds. Does that tell you anything? So please keep these facts in your mind. They are important facts. People will try to move you along certain paths, and they will use these words to move you in that direction. Get the facts from the Word of God. The word episkopos occurs 5 times in your Bible, 4 times is translated bishop in the King James Version, once is translated overseers. The word poimen, shepherds, 18 times in your Bible, once it's called pastors, all the rest of the time it's shepherds, and that's exactly what it is. Now I want us to go back, please, to Acts chapter 20, and I want us to notice something very, very important here. Very important. Verse 17, Paul calls the elders. Verse 18, when they were come to him, he said, and he starts talking in verse 18. He's talking in verse 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27, 28. He's still talking. And suddenly, instead of calling them elders, he calls them overseers. Same people. Exactly the same people. And then in verse 28, not only does he call them overseers, but he says this: take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock. Why does he use the word flock? A flock of what? Geese? No, sheep. A flock of sheep. Take heed yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God. The word to feed there is the verbal form of the word for shepherd. To shepherd the church of God. Therefore, I conclude from this that elders overseers and shepherds are all the same people. Please notice that. That is very important. I want you also to notice that in our New Testament, there is never, ever a church where there is not a plurality of these elders, overseers, and shepherds. Never. Not once. Always a plurality. Brother Dan pointed that out yesterday. And I want to emphasize it. Because in these days, we are being drawn away to follow the churches instead of the Word of God. Why three different names? I'll tell you why. Because the Spirit of God is emphasizing three different things to us. Number one, when the Holy Spirit calls these people, these leaders, elders, He is emphasizing the type of man who fills the position. An elder. Now, I think Brother Dan will be dealing with the qualifications of leaders. I hope so. And that's one of them. Not a novice. Someone of spiritual maturity. An elder. The term overseer, on the other hand, describes the position that that elder holds. Because there could be elders in the sense of being older, mature people, who do not have that position of overseership. And thirdly, the shepherd describes the type of work that the person does. And so we have a different emphasis. The type of man, the type of work, and the type of position which he holds. That's why the three terms are used. Now I want to talk, please, for a moment about this work of shepherding. And to do so, I want us to look at Peter's epistle, 1 Peter chapter 5. First Peter chapter 5, we'll read the first four verses. Now I want you very, very carefully to follow this passage, and I want you to identify, as we read these four verses, I want you to identify all three words, because Peter follows exactly the same line of thought. The elders which are among you, I exhort, who also am an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed, to feed or shepherd the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly. Not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. Neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Did you notice the three words? Elders, shepherding, overseeing, it's all there. And I think this proves quite conclusively to my mind that what Paul was teaching in Acts chapter 20 and what Peter is teaching here in 1 Peter 5 is identically the same doctrine. And that's very important. Pay attention to the words of Scripture, please, when you read them. Exactly the same doctrine. Now I want you to notice something, please. A shepherd is what? Is a shepherd, in the common use of the term, someone who has a flock of sheep? No, he's not. A shepherd may not own the sheep that he's shepherding. A shepherd is someone who's doing a job of work. Now that is so utterly simple that we might miss it. Peter says, I'm talking to you elders, and I'm telling you to shepherd the flock. Why is he doing that? Because that's what the Lord Jesus told Peter. Isn't that true? John 21, verse 16, the Lord Jesus said to Peter, feed my sheep, tend to them, look after them, shepherd them. It includes more than feeding. It includes caring for them, watching them. Traditionally, you know what a shepherd has, don't you? He's got a crook. What's he got a crook for? What's he got a crook for? Well, when he sees the sheep going astray, he'll put it in, won't he? Of course he will. He doesn't want them to go astray. Are you an elder? When was the last time you saw someone going astray and before they got too far you drew them back? When was it? Have you ever done it? You know, we have elders in our assemblies. I can speak freely. I don't know any of you. We have elders in our assemblies and they sit on the committee and they know nothing about shepherding. I want to tell you something. In the sight of God, they're not elders, they're not shepherds. That's a tragedy, but that's one reason why our assemblies are as they are today. A shepherd will watch the sheep, he will know the sheep. As soon as a sheep starts to get sick, he'll spot it, and as it goes past, he'll pull it over. Have you ever done it, my brother? Have you ever done it? Have you ever had such a care, such a compassion in your heart for the sheep that are under your care that you've had to take one of them aside and very gently deal with it? If you've never done it, you're not a shepherd. You're not. Oh, the importance of this. If only it could grip our souls. A woman said, her son had been taken to prison. She said, I've been in the assembly 20 something years. The elders have never once come to visit me. My brethren, it ought not to be so. And I know it's true. That woman was my sister, and that lad was my nephew. What are we doing? I'll tell you what we're doing. We're lording it over God's heritage. We're enjoying the position, the acclaim, the importance, sitting, making decisions about money and buildings and what have you. We're not caring for the sheep, and there's something wrong, desperately wrong. Oh, my brother, care for the sheep. Care for the sheep. Verse 2 tells us how to care for the sheep. Tend the flock of God. Verse 2 tells us how not to care for the sheep. Not by constraint. Not for money. Pay hate overseers? Forget it. Oh, you say, but I don't have time. My brother, if you don't have time, you're not a shepherd. End of story. Oh, but that's not my gift. If it's not your gift, you're not a shepherd. Leave it to those that are shepherds. Brother said last night, Brother Dan, how do you know a shepherd? It's easy. It's the one the sheep are following. Number four. Don't forget, if you are a shepherd, you are only an under shepherd. There is a chief shepherd, and he's watching, and he sees everything. He marks everything. He sees what you're doing. He sees what you're not doing. And he's coming back. Oh, that's good. He's coming back. Now I've got a word of warning. Word of warning to the young people. Now young men, I'm so glad to see you. Thank you for coming. I don't want you to go away from this meeting thinking that I am criticizing your elders. I'm not. I don't even know them. And I don't want you to go away from this meeting criticizing your elders. What I have said has not been said so that any of us will look at anybody else. It's so that each of us will look at ourselves. How do you become an elder? Now I want to talk to the younger people here, and I want to tell them how to become an elder. It is the essence of simplicity. God will burden your heart to do something if you ask him. Do it. If you do it, he will burden your heart to do something else. Do it. And then he will burden your heart to do something else, and you'll do it. And something else, and you'll do it. And you know what's happening? Overseers are made by the Spirit of God. And that's how they're made. And then they are recognized by the people of God. Why? Because they're doing the work. Can't you see? It's so utterly simple. I'm not suggesting that you young men go to the homes of the older people and say, right, I'm giving you a little pastoral visit. No, 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 no. Hang on. No, no. Something much more simple than that. Maybe your friend is a bit discouraged. You go and help your friend. You know something? That's doing the work of an elder. Isn't God gracious? Brethren, I trust you will take the word of exhortation in the spirit in which it's given. I have no right to stand here and say what I've said. May the Lord help us to be true shepherds. Let us pray.
Our Heavenly Father, we want to ask Thee to give us a real, overwhelming love for the Savior. To give us a deep, deep appreciation of Thy holy word. To give us hearts filled with compassion for the people of God. Oh God, we pray, give us shepherd hearts. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.